The first reading is taken from the book of Ezekiel, chapter 2, verses 1 to 5. Ezekiel's call to be a prophet. He said to me, "Son of man, stand up on your feet and I will speak to you." As he spoke, the Spirit came into me and raised me to my feet, and I heard him speaking to me. He said, "Son of man, I'm sending you to the Israelites, to a rebellious nation that has rebelled against me. They and their ancestors have been in revolt against me to this very day. The people to whom I am sending you are obstinate and stubborn. Say to them, 'This is what the sovereign Lord says,' and whether they listen or fail to listen, for they are rebellious people, they will know that a prophet has been among them." This is the word of the Lord.
The second reading is taken from 2 Corinthians 12, verses 2 to 10. "I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago was caught up in the third heaven. Whether it was in the body or out of the body, I do not know. God knows. And I know that this man, whether in the body or apart from the body, I do not know, but God knows, was caught up to paradise and heard inexpressible things, things that no one is permitted to tell. I will boast about a man like that, but I will not boast about myself except about my weaknesses. Even if I should choose to boast, I would not be a fool because I will be speaking the truth. But I refrain so no one will think more of me than is warranted by what I do or say, or because of these surpassingly great revelations. Therefore, in order to keep me from becoming conceited, I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan, to torment me. 3 times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me, but he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in the weaknesses, in insults, in hardship, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong." This is the word of the Lord.
The third reading is taken from Mark's Gospel, chapter 6, verses 1 to 13. Jesus left there and went to his hometown, accompanied by his disciples. When the Sabbath came, he began teaching in the synagogue, and many who heard him were amazed. "Where did this man get these things?" they asked. "What's this wisdom that has been given him? What are these remarkable miracles he is performing? Isn't this the carpenter? Isn't this Mary's son and the brother of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon? Aren't his sisters here with us?" And they took offense at him. Jesus said to them, "A prophet is not without honor, except in his own town, amongst his relatives, and in his own home. He could not do any miracles there, except lay his hands on a few sick people and heal them. He was amazed at their lack of faith." Then Jesus went around teaching from village to village. Calling the 12 to him, he began to send them out 2 by 2 and gave them authority over impure spirits. These were his instructions. "Take nothing for the journey except a staff. No bread, no bag, no money in your belts. Wear sandals, but not an extra shirt. Whenever you enter a house, stay there until you leave that town. And if any place will not welcome you or listen to you, leave that place and shake the dust off your feet as a testimony against them." They went out and preached that people should repent. They drove out many demons and anointed many sick people with oil and healed them. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Just pray for Wendy now, Lord. We just thank you for the words that you put on Wendy's heart. Lord, we just pray that you'll open our hearts and minds to receive this message. And may it be transforming food to us this morning. Amen.
Thank you. Well, today I know many people are celebrating. England's victory into the semi-finals for the third time, for a very long time. What a celebration. I have a confession, though. I didn't watch the match, and the reason why is because, well, I was at Wimbledon. I did look over a few people's shoulders, and we did see a little bit of it on people's iPads, because, of course, people can't resist, can they? But Wimbledon in itself was fantastic. Have you heard of a woman called Su Wei Shi? No? Okay, well, after yesterday, yes. So I'd never heard of her before yesterday. She beat number one ladies seed, Simone Halep, in three sets. It was just an amazing game. Now, I have to say, she wasn't necessarily the strongest player. She was slighter, shorter, weaker than Simone Halep in every way. Her serves were only around about, 80 miles per hour only. Halep's were 100 miles, odd miles per hour. She didn't hit the ball as hard, she didn't shout as loud, but she won after 2 hours and 20 minutes of superb tennis. How? Well, tenacity, yes. Practice, yes. Fitness, of course. A variety of strategies, and she was definitely the strategist, yes. But two things, above all, enabled her to beat what was obviously the number one in the world, her stronger opponent. And the first was, she never gave up. Not for a moment. The second was her vision, because she believed she could win against all odds. And she did. So today I want to talk about weakness, but I also want to talk about vision. And in those readings, you will have noticed both. Feeling weak in the face of what seems to be an insurmountable challenge is part of our human experience, isn't it? It's part of our Christian experience too. We're reminded from all three readings that God speaks to each of us and he uses us, weak though we may be. I want to focus on three people. Ezekiel, no surprises there. That was our first reading. Ezekiel the prophet, Paul the apostle, and on a young lady called Nancy who lives in Morocco. 2,800 years ago, that was Ezekiel. About 2,000 years ago, 40 AD, that was Paul. And Nancy, who lives today. We're looking at all three visions and all three people. And we're going to focus on this, what Paul expresses as, when I am weak, then I am strong. We're focusing on the result of the visions that these people have. So first to Ezekiel. He was one of, three major prophets, Isaiah, Jeremiah, and Ezekiel in the Old Testament. And although we didn't hear it read this morning, right at the beginning of Ezekiel's prophecy, which is very long, in Ezekiel 1:1, it says, and this is him speaking, in my 30th year, in the fourth month, on the fifth day, while I was among the exiles by the river Kabar, the heavens were opened and I saw visions of God. Specific time to the day, specific place, specific situation, and God spoke. And that's the first thing about these readings and about our relationship with God. When he speaks, it's to us. Our particular situations on particular days. So we know, in fact, how old he was. We know what place he was in. The rest of chapter 1 holds this detailed account of the most amazing vision, which I'm not going to go into, but it involved four creatures, all with wings. They had four faces. There were wheels. There were brilliant lights, fire, radiance. It's really hard to understand and to interpret. I'm not sure even whether we meant to interpret it. What's important about it is what Ezekiel made of it himself. And it's very clear in those verses that Joe read to us, thank you, Joe, of what God is saying to Ezekiel. First of all, he addresses Ezekiel as the son of man, which is basically in Hebrew, Bar Adam. It just means the son of Adam, which in some translations is mortal. Hey, you mortal over there, okay? It was actually mentioned 93 times in the book of Ezekiel. One other book in the Old Testament uses the phrase, and that's Daniel. And Jesus used it to refer to himself, didn't he? That was his favorite title for himself, son of man. He was, by saying that, Bar Adam, that he was like us. He experienced suffering. So, son of man, he's called. And I think also it's to remind us that God doesn't call perfect people. He doesn't wait for us to be perfect before he calls us. In fact, he calls us with our mix of strengths and weaknesses, gifts and talents and disabilities to serve him in different ways. Now, I wish Marianne was here today because she would have shared, I know, Marianne shared a little bit in Alpha on Tuesday, the last of our Alpha, and she was sharing about how God met her in a particular way. It was on the Alpha Away Day, and that what God showed to her was that it was okay for her to be work in progress, that God hadn't finished with her, but she had this enormous peace because it was okay that she was where she was at this time in her journey. Anyway, back to Ezekiel. Son of man, mortal, stand up on your feet and I will speak to you, this voice says. He's been lying down, face down, because of this huge vision that he had, and he actually had lost his strength. But this is beautiful. As the voice came, stand up, Ezekiel says, the Spirit came to me and raised me to my feet, and I heard him speaking. And that's lovely, because even though he was face down and lost his strength, the Spirit came alongside him and lifted him up. And that's the theme that runs through all these readings, this theme of grace, this theme of coming alongside and God's power being made perfect in our weakness, even when we have no energy left. And what does he do? He sends Ezekiel. So three times in that reading, he says, I am sending you to people who will listen. No, to a rebellious nation. To people who have revolted against God, to people who are obstinate and stubborn. Oh, goodness. We don't know anybody who we could describe quite like that in our lives, do we? Well, it turns out that Ezekiel has been sent as a prophet to bring the word of God to these rebellious, obstinate, and stubborn people. And he's been sent whether they listen or not. So twice he says to Ezekiel, I'm sending you. And he says, whether they listen or not, they will know that prophet has been among them. Sometimes we look for success in our ministry, don't we? Sometimes we look for things that mean that, wow, we know God has used us in some amazing way. But quite a lot of the time, we don't see success. Does that mean that God isn't using us? Does that mean that God hasn't sent us? Well, even Jesus, that reading that Chris read, when he was preaching in his own hometown, he couldn't do what he was, well, he didn't see the results of what he was sent to preach about. And so there's this idea that even when we don't see success, it's okay if we are doing what God sends us to do. Last week, on the 2nd of July, we were celebrating my husband's, I won't tell you what, birthday. And the 2nd of July, I was reminded by a post from a friend of mine, actually it was Rosanna Dooley, on Facebook. And she reminded me that on the 2nd of July last year, not only was it Robin's birthday, but also that was the day that I was ordained a priest. Lots of you came to that ordination to support me, to cheer me on, to pray for me. It was a really special day, and the Bishop of Colchester, Bishop Roger, he gave us this commission. Part of the commission, my commission, was a calling to be a servant and a shepherd among you. And amongst many other charges, he said, and you have been sent to tell God's story of love together with the people I'm sending you to. And I love that bit. Well, am I up to this task? Of course not. I'm a mere fallible human. I'm weak. But today I'm reminded that when I am weak, then I am strong. Because God has promised me that his grace is sufficient for me. And his power is made perfect in my weakness. Paul, the apostle and great preacher to the Gentiles. Those Gentiles who were despised by the Jews, they were unclean, they were unchosen, they were unenlightened, but nevertheless they were invited into God's kingdom. Paul has a similar experience to Ezekiel's. Actually, this passage is intriguing because we know that this man who he talks about, he doesn't actually say myself, was caught up into the third heaven. What's that? We may well ask, how was he caught up? Well, you know, we want to know the juicy details. We of the tabloid generation, you could say, want to know what's going on. But no, he doesn't tell us how he was caught up. Was it a real bodily experience or was it just a dream? We don't know. What was he shown in this vision? Well, you guessed it. We're not told. All we're told is that he heard and saw inexpressible things, surpassing great revelations. But just tell us, Paul, I hear you say in frustration. But no, he won't even claim that it was him who heard and saw the vision, except verse 7, he hints that in order to keep me, this person, from becoming conceited, he was given a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. A thorn in the flesh? Now, what exactly was the thorn in the flesh, Paul? Yeah, you guessed it. He doesn't say. We want to know, was it something physical that he was tormented with? Was it maybe a temptation that wouldn't leave him? Could it have been, Jane Williams, a great scholar, biblical scholar, suggests, could it have been maybe those other people in Corinth who were tormenting him, the people called the super apostles who claimed to have these amazing visions and dreams? All we know is that whatever it was, the thorn in the flesh was something that God didn't take away from him, though he pleaded 3 times for him to take it away. Listen, I'm not encouraged by Paul being in a position of suffering, but what I am encouraged by is that even Paul, the great apostle, got the answer no when he prayed sometimes. That even Paul pleaded with God, and sometimes God didn't change the things in the way that he wanted God to change them. And he said that the reason for this was, one, to keep him humble, but two, actually, what was he able to do? He was able to experience God's grace in the middle of his suffering, in the middle of this, whatever it was that was tormenting him. He was able to know God's undeserved favor and that that was sufficient for him because God's power is made perfect in weakness. He needed that vision, whatever it was, because he needed that vision to know that God had called him, that God had sent him, no matter what. So I've told you about Ezekiel and his calling with no promise of success. I've told you about Paul, who in spite of his amazing visions and revelations was given this thorn in the flesh to keep him humble and relying on Christ. But I want to tell you now about this amazing young lady called Nancy. Now, I've never met her, friends of mine have. So in June, I got a letter from my friends. They're in Mombasa. No, they're not. They're in Mombasa, but I'm not telling you exactly what town they're in because they're Christians and they need their identity protected. Nancy is a Muslim who has recently been reborn and has recently been baptized as a believer of Jesus Christ. Now, she continues to share her faith even though it's against the law in her country to do so, in Morocco. She does it in a most beautiful and creative way by using her particular artistic gifts and designs. And what she does is she designs T-shirts. So there's a picture of one here that she designed. It's got a big circle, and in the middle there's a bony fish, but like the dead fish logo. And it says on this T-shirt, it says, "Only dead fish go with the flow." And underneath, it's got the words "amazing," spelt in a creative way, "lifestyle." And people in her English language course come up to her and they ask her, "What does that mean? Why are you wearing that T-shirt? What's on it?" You know Tim Dooley's T-shirts, don't you? He always wears T-shirts with slogans on them. He always wears T-shirts with something meaningful. And actually, again, he brought that up at Alpha. That's part of the way he introduces conversation about his faith. So she shares her faith, even though she is at risk herself for doing that. What's beautiful and supernatural is that her mother recently came to faith after having a dream of Jesus, which confirmed what her daughter had been telling her. That's amazing, isn't it? Revelations, visions, dreams, they still happen today. And ordinary people like Nancy and like you, like me, ordinary people who give their lives and gifts and skills to God, it's those people who are called and sent to share the good news of God's love with others. So I want to leave you with this. A question. I wonder what your thorn in the flesh is. I wonder what difficulty or what thing it is in our mind or our body or job or people out there, which though we've been on our knees before God, God seems not to take away, no matter our pleading. I wonder if he's asking you to fall upon his grace, to come into his presence, and to claim that promise that God's power is made perfect in our weakness, so that we can say with Paul, "I delight in weakness, in insults, in hardship, in persecutions, in difficulties, for when I'm weak, then I am strong." Let's just take a moment to pray. Creator God, you made us all in your image, human. May we discern you in all we see, serve you in all that we do, and delight in you in spite of our weaknesses. For your grace is sufficient for us, and in your power we are made strong through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.